Good morning again, Marius Ola. Welcome here. If some of my hair out of place, you'll have to excuse me. I took the bike this morning. Anyway, we don't have anything to announce this morning. Just as I look around in these pews and see them empty, I was talking to Pastor Corny and I just hope that it stays weird, so to speak, that they're empty. This is going on, I think, week 8 to 10, I don't even know anymore, but we're going into the months now where we haven't seen anybody face to face and we miss everybody. I'd also just like to just thank everybody for the continued prayers for the ministerial and just ask that you continue to pray for us. We pray for you all the time. We miss you and we can't wait to see these pews fill up. We realize that when we first start seeing things, it's going to be different. We're going to see fewer people here, but again, we look forward to any sense of normality. It will be different, but we can't wait to see everybody. With that, today I've chosen to read Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11, and I'm reading the ESV. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambitions or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Please bow with me for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. As we see the pews are empty, we know that you are here. You are working in us and through us. Convict us of your Spirit this morning and through the weeks and months to come. Help us to be totally focused on you when we don't know where to go with ourselves due through isolation or just maybe boredom. Help us to cling to your word. You are faithful to the end. Your word tells it to us, and we believe you. Thank you for your Spirit who indwells in us and who directs us. Be with the message this morning. Be with Pastor Corny as he comes up here to give us the words that you have laid on his heart. Be with us, the viewers and listeners. Help us to receive your word in the sense that you want us to see it. Again, we give you thanks for each and every one that is involved in making this possible. We thank you for the platforms that are available so that we can still have your word being preached to us. May you bless each and every one this morning, this week to come. We give you thanks for your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Hello, everyone. I was going to say good morning, and I caught myself, but thank you for joining us today, whatever time you're watching this. As Corny mentioned, we do really miss seeing you guys. It's not the same, you know, knowing that there are those of you watching these videos it has gotten a little easier to stand in front of the camera, but it's still not the same. Not seeing your faces and your response, your engagement, your interaction, that's what I miss the most from being up here, is looking out and seeing the engagement throughout the sermons. And so I really do hope that you are engaged even through watching this on video. I hope your kids are doing well, whether they're really young or in their teens or however old they are. If you're watching this from our website, I hope that you have noticed that there are resources just below this main video down the screen on our website sermon page for things that your kids can get involved in, like coloring and puzzles and quizzes. There's also like great video resources that are more geared towards kids that they can better understand and be engaged with. I know my kids have a hard time sitting still through these long sermons. So there are things for your children to do in this time. So we just pray again that you are all well, that you are keeping your sanity, that God is the source of your calm. He's the source of your peace in the midst of all this stuff. So with that, I'm just going to dive right into the message for this morning, and I hope that you know by now, but when you see me come up here, get your Bibles and turn to Mark, because that's where we're going today, again. So this is a follow-up message to what I preached last time as to why Jesus spoke in parables, and he was specifically talking about the parable of the sower and the seed. And in that parable, Jesus sets the stage for all parables, that he will speak in saying that the parable of the sower and the seed is the key to understanding the rest of them. And the very act of Jesus telling the parable of the sower and the seed makes this parable, at least I find, a challenge to explain. Jesus is not only the storyteller. He's a master storyteller. But he's not just a storyteller in this sense. He is also the sower of the word that's in the parable. And he is also the word that's being sown. In addition to that, he is the secret or the mystery of the kingdom of God, which he gives to his disciples in the form of understanding, which is described as the seed, which is Jesus, the seed falling into the good soil. And so this nested reality is, I think, about as difficult to fully grasp as when Jesus prays that just as he and the Father are one, that we would be one, that Jesus would be in us and we would be in him. He is in the Father is in him. How do you begin to draw that out? How do you begin to explain that framework? There is such a deep-rooted connection, and it's, I don't think we have the resources to fully illustrate how this can be. And so we in faith must trust the vastness of who God is. When he abides in us and we abide in him, we are lost in the existence of who God is. We are woven into the fabric of the family that he creates. And so we are one with him through Christ. And with that, I don't think it's a mistake or a coincidence that Jesus says to pay attention to what you hear. And, you know, coming out of the parable of the soils, it's easy to pick apart, you know, 4-5 key points. But really looking at who Jesus is and what he's talking about, I don't think it's a mistake that he says to pay attention to what you hear. And so he is further explaining why he spoke in parables. And we need to, in humility, go to him and ask for his understanding. We need his revelation so that he can shed light on where we are in the dark in our understanding of who he is and what he's trying to teach. We can't figure this out. The words may make sense to you in your mind, but if they don't penetrate your heart, it means nothing, because that's where the regeneration happens. And so it's very important that we understand what Jesus is talking about in the center of who we are. So with that, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to share your word and to just shed some light on some dark areas that maybe some of us have in understanding your word. And so we we lean on you this morning. We lean on you right now for understanding and wisdom to open our eyes to see what we cannot figure out for ourselves. We ask for your revelation of truth, your revelation of the mystery that you were throughout the entire Old Testament but has been revealed to the world. And yet you are still a mystery to the unbelievers of this world because they don't see you. And so you remain a mystery to them, but for those of us who see you, the mystery has been revealed. And so I really do pray for those who don't see you, that you would develop in them the ears to hear and the eyes to see so that they can see the mystery that has been in front of them this whole time. We just pray again for your understanding as we dive into your word this morning, and that you would present to us your truth, and that that truth would take hold of us and bear fruit in us. And we thank you for being with us, and we just praise you for the work that you are doing, even in these strange times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 25. And you'll also find this in Luke 8, 16 to 18, but I don't think I put anything of Luke's in here because it's very much the same. And so, Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 25. And Jesus said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." So there is some repetition in this passage from what we read last time, and that's okay. I hope that really helps us to solidify what he's talking about. But this first line spells out the purpose for speaking in parables and the method at which the mystery of the kingdom of God is embedded in the parables and is revealed. And it's a no-brainer. Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or a bed? Obviously not. And it's a no-brainer, and I think that's the point. Is a lamp brought in and put up and lifted up so that there is light for the whole room? Of course it is. That's the whole purpose. It's supposed to illuminate the area and give light to the places that are dark. And this is simple logic, and it's supposed to be. The lamp is brought into a dark place for the very purpose of exposing what is in the darkness. And this teaching is an extension of Christ's explanation of the sower and the seed, which primarily highlights his own arrival, and secondly, the Christian's duty to allow his light shine in and through us. Our purpose as individuals is to come to the saving knowledge of who God is, so that the mystery of Christ can be revealed in us, so that Christ can work through us. And so we see that progression, and God is very, very much involved in this. Last time we talked a little bit about the mystery of the kingdom of God, which Jesus gives to his disciples. And as with all secrets and mysteries, they can only be given through revelation. The one who holds the secret is the one who has to initiate its revelation. That's just how secrets work. Otherwise, the secret just remains a secret. In verse 22 of today's text, Jesus says that nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, and nor is anything secret except to come to light. And so one of the questions that I asked last time is, why was the kingdom of God ever a secret to begin with, and why speak in parables so that it remains a secret to those who don't have ears to hear? What Jesus says in verse 22 answers that second question, in that the mysteries and the secrets exist for the purpose of being revealed. They are not meant to stay hidden. Now, and I think that maybe that's also common knowledge, and it makes perfect logical sense, but I find it interesting that a secret or a mystery exists for the purpose of being revealed. They're not meant to stay hidden. And those who do not have ears to hear cannot understand the mystery, even if it's plainly laid out for them. And thereby, the mystery remains a mystery, and the secret remains a secret, meaning that it still exists for the purpose of revelation for those who don't hear. Now, I have a few phrases like that into the sermon, and I hope I won't be over-confusing you today. And so, you know, we have the video, so feel free, rewind and go back and hear it again, just to see if you can kind of go see where I'm going with this. I think that we can all agree that because of sin, our world lies in darkness. Sin has devastated humanity and the rest of the planet as a result. Ultimately, sin has cut people off from God, and they are without his life, leaving them to wander in the dark, alive only to their sin, but dead to God. But we know that a lamp has been lit, and it has been lit with a purpose, and it has not been covered. It has not been put under a basket. That lamp is Jesus. And during his ministry, Jesus crossed so many boundaries in referencing himself to God while being man, but only he's able to do so because he is both fully God and fully man. Only Jesus can cross these so-called boundaries. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, John writes that God is light and that in him there is no darkness at all. And in John 8:12, Jesus says that he is the light of the world, and that whoever follows him will not walk in darkness. He is the lamp that is brought in and put on a stand. He is the one that is lifted up to chase the darkness. And if Jesus is the lamp, the light of the world, what is he shedding light on? What is he exposing or revealing? My quick answer to that is he's revealing everything. Everything. I can't think of any abyss that could conceal anything in the presence of his light. He brings light to our sin. He brings light to our broken human condition. He reveals our need for him, and he reveals the love of the Father. Simply standing in his presence, in his light, everything's laid bare. Nothing is hidden. But there is something that is hidden from the hearts of mankind that Jesus came to reveal. Mysteries exist for the very purpose of being revealed. And what is the mystery of the kingdom of God? Again, my quick answer is Jesus. Jesus is the mystery of the kingdom of God. Jesus was hidden throughout the Old Testament, what we have in scriptures. There were glimpses of his existence, and prophecy spoke of him, but he was yet to be made manifest. His arrival was inevitable because he was hidden. That is the nature of hidden things. They will be exposed. And so we see that Christ is patterned in the ark that saved Noah and his family from the flood. He is patterned in the substitutionary sacrifice for Isaac, whom Abraham was ready to slaughter. Christ is patterned in the Passover as the blood of the Lamb is smeared on the doorposts, in the crossing of the Red Sea as God's people are forever freed from the clutches of Pharaoh. Christ is patterned in the temple sacrifices that were made for the forgiveness of God's people, and Jonah and the great fish and many others. Jesus is also promised in the very beginning when God pronounces Satan's defeat in saying that an offspring of a woman would strike his head. He is promised to Abraham as the offspring who would, through all nations, bless the world. Jesus is called the Son of David, and he was promised at David's time as a Savior who would come from his bloodline. In addition, there are a great deal of chapters and verses that accurately describe his ministry as the Good Shepherd, and you'll find that in Ezekiel, as a suffering servant, Isaiah, as well as his death and resurrection. If we were to look at these verses as the Jews would have before Jesus showed up, there would have been a shroud of mystery in all of the Old Testament scriptures. There is so much reference to an offspring, a savior, a redeemer, a suffering servant, a king, a good shepherd. But no specific details as to exactly where or how or a name. At least all those details would have appeared to have been veiled. We know these now because we have the answer. And so now it's much easier for us to connect the dots, and we see it now because we have the answer, because we have been, it has been revealed to us. And so we see how obvious it is now that Jesus has always been there. But for the Jews before Jesus showed up, they could have only imagined and assumed. Have you ever been aware of your emotions when you go to a show where there's a stage? And maybe, you know, we could think about the Christmas programs that we have. And I'm talking about those ones because those stages have curtains. You ever wonder if those curtains are necessary? Or at least what their purpose is? And looking at what Jesus is talking about today and about revealing a mystery, the curtain is actually very important for the purpose of keeping our gaze in that direction until they are drawn back to reveal what's behind them. That's what the curtain's job is. While the curtains are closed, you are left in the dark as to what lies behind them, but it piques your curiosity. It piques your interest, and it draws you in with anticipation. And you will sit there and you will wait because you have come to see something. You don't know what it is, but there's a curtain in front of it, and you're going to stare at that curtain and wait for it to open. There is an anticipation. And when that spotlight comes on and it shines on the stage and the curtains are opened and the crowd goes silent as if to pay attention, like Jesus said, pay attention to what you hear. And so the curtain is drawn back and you are quieted to pay attention to what is being revealed from behind that curtain. And I think this is the scenario that we're reading about in today's reading. Every great event that is recorded in the Old Testament points to the coming of Jesus. And God, through his sovereign will, connected each of those moments and brought it down to the Virgin Mary, who would be the vessel through whom the promise and the hope of mankind would enter our world and ultimately our hearts. Now, only a handful of individuals were aware of the moment, that moment where Christ was born into this world. And it happened. And so there was still this veil of mystery that was in place. The curtain was still closed until the moment Jesus arrived on the scene proclaiming his message of repent and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is here. What is the mystery he's talking about? It's the mystery of the kingdom of God. Repent and believe. Turn around and look. Believe what I'm telling you. He's about to reveal what has been hidden all this time. And this is indeed great news, because this mystery of God that has been hidden within the stories of the Old Testament is about to be revealed. The lamp has been lit. The spotlight is now shining in the darkness, pointing to the drawn back curtain, finally revealing the fulfillment of what had been kept hidden until this moment. And so Jesus is the lamp, bringing revelation that he is the mystery that God kept hidden on purpose so that God could reveal him at a time where it would have the greatest impact on all of humanity. In verse 23 of today's reading, Jesus says, if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. These words are only truly heard by those who have spiritual ears to hear the spiritual things that Jesus is saying. And I want to skip briefly just to verse 25, which reads, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now, we went over this last time, but it's just a really quick recap on what he's saying there. The New Living Translation helps to clarify by saying it this way. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. And I got thinking about that. That sounds an awful lot like what Paul is saying in Romans 1:18-23. And Paul writes in Romans 1, 18 to 23, and he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, or ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." It's by their unrighteousness that they suppress the truth. "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that they have been made. So they are without excuse." That's how obvious it is that everyone on this planet is without excuse to the knowledge and the existence of God. "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." And so here we see Paul talking about that darkness that keeps God a mystery, that keeps the secret of the kingdom of God a mystery, that their hearts were darkened. "They claimed to be wise, and they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." So Paul gives insight to what happens when we do not listen to the word of God. There is enough evidence in the physical things of this earth that leaves everyone without excuse to the existence of God. And that basic, I would say, central understanding is given to us by being placed into the physical evidence for God's existence, namely the world around us. And I think I've used this analogy before. We are standing in a building. I don't know who built this building, but the fact that this building stands is proof that there is a builder. We've been placed into a world that proves that there's a creator. And so that is the physical evidence we've been given, so that no one is without excuse. When we do not listen to him, we begin to lose what understanding we have by the obvious signs around us. Our thinking then becomes futile, and our hearts are then darkened. Thus, the little understanding that we have is being taken away due to our neglect of listening to God's word. And so on one hand, we have those who neglect the word of God, and they fall deeper into the darkness of their own hearts, obscuring his mystery even more and more, while on the other hand, we have people who are being awakened to the light of Christ and having the mystery of God revealed to them. And so I pray for ears to hear. With that, if you want to take a moment with me and just spend some time on your knees, and I know that there's, I think, a lot of, at least to me, I'm hoping it doesn't come across as confusing information. I hope that it's very clear. And so I just, again, I invite you to join me on your knees and pray for clarity, for understanding, for God to reveal himself to you as he sees fit. Please join me on your knees.